Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Let's go. Okay, let's dive right into this. Reading from Twitter, spoke to a little birdie with access to some internal polling. Quote, never seen a disconnect like this on issue polling. Suburban women are with us, but they just want Trump gone and they're killing us right now. And then you look back at, wow, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Classic question. September of 2020, right now for Trump, I mean, 56%. Yep, better off today than I was 4 years ago, even with COVID. December 2012, 45% said that. 2004, 47% said that. 1992, 38% said that. So this looks awesome, right? 56%. The latest Rasmussen poll that has Biden plus 12 has Trump only getting 76% of Republicans. Huh? Trump got 88% of Republicans in the 2016 election. So what's going on there? Since 2016, Democrats have lost 41,924 voters in Pennsylvania, while Republicans have gained 158,445. So how's Joe Biden going to win the state by 11, as the recent polling suggests? Average margin of victory in the Florida the last seven presidential elections is 2.5 points. Today's Quinnipiac poll has Biden outperforming that by 400%. Last but not least, Rasmussen poll, the most accurate national poll of 2016, says Biden is going to outperform FDR's final reelect in 1944 in the midst of World War II. What the heck is going on with all that? Steve Dace from The Blaze, thanks for calling, buddy. What's going on here? Those are all your tweets. This is crazy. Never seen anything like this. Help us understand what's happening here.
I'm not sure that I can, Steve. I mean, all I can do, brother, is look at the data and report what I see. And here's what I know for sure. Donald Trump is not only going to get 76% of registered Republicans on Election Day. You know, I don't think you can do historical trends really any earlier than 1992, because you get into the 80s when Republicans could win California and Florida wasn't a swing state, you know, and you're kind of not pertinent to this environment. But and since 1992, we've had seven presidential elections. The worst any Republican nominee has done with Republican voters was George Herbert Walker Bush. He got 73% in 1992, and that was with Ross Perot competing with him for his own voters. Trump is dramatically more popular with Republican voters. He's averaged an 87% approval rating with Republican voters throughout his 4 years. There's no way on Election Day he's going to get only 76%. He's going to get at least 10 points more than that. Now, as for every other demographic, brother, I got to tell you, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's the shocking thing about this. This is kind of like the COVID situation, which you've been dealing with and doing a great job. I mean, you bitches have been killing it all year, and we appreciate the abilities God has given you and you sharing that with the rest of us. Where everybody's, I don't know where to go. I hear this all the time. I'm sure you do, too. Where can I go to actually get information that I can trust? I don't know. You got to go through all of it, and then you got to sift through it all, and discernment's probably my number one prayer request this year. And now the same thing on the polling, and people are just don't have a clue. You go look from now all the way back. If you're on Real Clear Politics, look at all those polls. There's like 110 of them, all the way back to the beginning of January when Biden was the presumptive nominee, and like all of them are blue, Biden, except for three for Trump, and two are a tie. It looks like a landslide, but there's all kinds of other things. So is this just the anti-Trump fixes in, and now not just the left media and of course all of the Democrat Party, but now we've got all the polling sources in here too. Could that be possible?
It could be possible. I think this is worse than COVID, because I could at least CDC's been better since people like Scott Atlas have been in charge, but you could at least pry objective data out of them, and then if it couldn't, there was, you know, infectious disease experts and institutions all over the rest of the world where we get good data from. It was just the analysis was bad. It's tough to get even the good data here when it comes to the public polling, because it's often presented only in its analytical form. You got to know how to read through it to sort of sift through the mess. There's only two things that are possible here, as far as I can tell, Steve. Either this process is systemically wrong / rigged. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that suburban women in America just hate Donald Trump so much, they're about to hand the country over to Marxists. And it's one of those two things that mean tweets means you get Marxism. That's the only Those are the only real two options, because I just can't reconcile what's in this data any other way. I mean, we're sitting here right now. You mentioned the "Are you better off than you were 4 years ago?" That's the highest Gallup has ever received since they started asking this in 1984. The last unemployment report before the election went down. Historically, every president but one who had a declining unemployment rate before his election won. The only exception was Ford, an excruciatingly close election. You look at a majority of Americans want Amy Coney Barrett confirmed before the election. Maybe they're just saying, hey, we're getting rid of Trump, so get that last Supreme Court justice in there. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it just comes down to suburban, either the polls are wrong or rigged, or suburban women in America just want the mean tweets to end, so Marxism it is. It's one of those two things.
Yeah, and the only thing that, I mean, between now and November 3rd, and quite frankly, unless it's a huge Trump landslide on November 3rd, I don't think this is going to be over anytime soon. I think we're back in a Bush-Gore on crack. But between now and then, most people know this. We all vote self-interest. That's just the way we are. And so are they all, get all that emotion out, I hate them. But when you go in there to pull the lever, fill in the thing, or mail in your ballot, God help us, then you're like, okay, he's the biggest jerk that I've ever known, but at least he's putting more money in my pockets. I think we're safer and the country's going to do better. I just don't know if that's going to happen. Could people be that emotional that they're willing to turn the country over to Marxism? I totally agree with you that because of their emotions in this environment and with Nefarious, which we'll talk about that at another date. But the spiritual darkness, this is like the prequel trilogies. I keep hearing Yoda saying the dark side is clouding everything. So there's a massive spiritual battle going on here that most people aren't even aware of. And I just don't know. I'm with you. I'm people asking me all the time. I'm like, I have no idea. But that's a great way to look at it in terms of those two options. So what do we do? Other than we better be on our stinking knees in prayer, more so now than ever before for our country, I think.
Well, if he loses in this environment, he should have never lost in this environment, no matter who the Democrats nominated. If he lost, this would be unlike any presidential loss in American history. It would be a unique individual rebuke of him on a personal, visceral level, and really not on his agenda or any of his policies. And you can see, I mean, the Democrats are, you know, by saying they're not going to raise taxes on anybody making under $400,000 a year, they're telling you they're not raising taxes on almost anybody.
Just right.
Like only 3% of Americans make that, okay?
Yeah, just remarkable.
You can see the Democrats, they're running away from their issues, Steve. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, it's crazy. Steve, thanks for your time, man. I know you're busy. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for your work. God help us all. All right, I'll talk to you later, buddy. Thanks.
You bet. God bless.
God bless. This is Steve Noble. A lot more to talk about. Holy cow. Get on your knees. We'll be right back. Because you are more than I could ever dream. This world could ever see. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Good to be with you. It's good to have Steve Dace on. For those of you on Facebook Live, something happened there. Because there's just... something happened there on Facebook Live. They're like, yeah, we couldn't hear your caller. Well, the caller was Steve Dace, but on the radio, you heard him. Okay, so I'm going to go back through this, but I want to set this up. Because Steve Dace was talking about, and again, let me just preface this by saying, I think Steve Dace is the best analyst in the country right now on politics and polling and just raw data. He is a data consumer, okay? He's a major data consumer. He's been doing this for years. He's up there in Iowa. He's at the middle of all the political mess that Iowa represents over all the years. And then he worked with the Cruz campaign, and that was specifically what his job was. And even he didn't see what was going to happen with Trump back then, okay? But he's brilliant, and he's a number cruncher, and he's also full of the Holy Spirit, okay? So that's why I follow him closely. We text pretty regularly, and it just helps a lot, okay? So I really trust him. So he's coming out and saying, you know, all this stuff's going on. None of this makes sense. You got all these polls showing Biden. But then you have something like the poll that was the typical question, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? That's an absolute, absolute rock bottom question that goes to the reelection of a president. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And right now, the answer is 56% said yes. That's the highest in the history of those polls going back to 1984. 1984, that was the end of the first term for Reagan, Ronald Reagan. And he slashed the top marginal rate from like 72% down to 36%. And the economy skyrocketed in his first term. And 44% said, yeah, I'm better off now than I was 4 years ago. Right now, 56% are saying that. Okay? That's crazy. Yet, Steve texted this, or put this out on Twitter just about an hour ago, spoke to a little birdie with access to some internal polling, in this case, talking about the White House, the campaign. Never seen a disconnect like this. What disconnect? On issue polling, suburban women are with us, meaning most suburban women, the numbers are strong. Hey, we like everything Donald Trump's done. We like a lot of his policies. We certainly like the results. That's why 56% are saying, yep, I'm better off now than I was 4 years ago. I think most people, if they're honest, are saying that. Even with COVID. Okay, this is even with COVID. However, but they just want Trump gone and they're killing us right now. Meaning, and this is what Steve Day said for those of you on Facebook Live that missed it. He said, we've got suburban women who love the results but can't stand Trump and his personality and the meanness and nastiness and all that kind of stuff. And they are literally willing at this moment, they're willing with their vote to turn the country over to a Marxist-driven agenda in order to eliminate the emotional stress of having a really nasty guy in the White House. Which I know now I'm sounding sexist, but that is absolutely logic being overrun by emotion. That's absolutely what it is. And so I'm going to tell you right now, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. Trump, is Trump a nasty guy in many ways? Yeah, he can be. Is he obnoxious? Yeah, in many ways he can be. Does he lack eloquence? Yes, he's not a particularly great communicator. Does he just tell it like it is? Yes. Does he tell you what he thinks? Obviously. But does he go after his enemies, political enemies? Yes. So you got all that uncomfortable, right? We've been talking about that ad nauseum for 5 years. But now you're to a point where you're like, okay, this is worse than Trump versus Hillary in 2016. And I said, to quote myself, I'm going to vote for the devil I don't know very well versus the devil I know very well. And the same thing is true now, except the guy that I thought could be kind of a devil before, Donald Trump, has proven himself to still be Donald Trump in the way he acts and the way he communicates and the way he treats people. However, he's also proven himself to be a remarkably effective conservative president. And none of that, we didn't know any of that going into 2016, November of 2016. So we're kind of like Vegas, right? With a wing and a prayer. Well, a lot of things came up seven on that bet. And a lot of great things have happened, including for minority people. And then you get COVID. But if we're going to come out of COVID, and I believe we will, who do I want at the helm? I want the guy at the helm that just did what he did for 3 years. We're talking about an existential threat to the future of the country. So I'm going to jump to this. I was going to save this for last, but I'm going to do this right now. Dr. Dobson. So if you're my age, I'm 54, and you're in that generation, okay, or older. You know who Dr. Dobson is, focused on the family, all right? So he's talking about, he put an article out just the other day, Dr. Dobson's open letter to Christians regarding the election. Many political commentators have stated that this election is the most significant since 1864, when Abraham Lincoln vied for a second term against Democrat nominee George McClellan. The future of our beloved nation hung in the balance that year. If Lincoln had lost, the Civil War would have ended precipitously and the wretched evils of slavery would have remained legal in the Confederate States and perhaps even in the North. Had Lincoln been defeated, the Union would have been torn asunder. Thank God Mr. Lincoln won, even though it cost him his life. Now we're approaching another presidential election that carries enormous implications for the stability of our democratic system of government. Absolutely true. Indeed, Newt Gingrich said that what we are facing now might bring an end to civilization as we have known it. He may have been referring to a possible revolution. Regardless, I believe his grave concern for our nation is valid. Charlie Kirk from Turning Point USA recently said Donald Trump is the bodyguard of Western civilization. Now, I'm looking at that as a quantitative statement, not a qualitative statement. I'm not sitting there going, is Donald Trump the savior? Of course not. But has Donald Trump's activity and results as the president, does he stand between what we have been, Western civilization, Judeo-Christian heritage, the founding principles of this country, and what everybody on the left who now openly talks about what they want us to be? The new Green Deal, essentially socialism. Take care of everybody, free stuff for everybody. Except the rich people, we're going to basically hang them out to dry, and rich corporations, and we're going to extract everything from them. Which, by the way, if you ever study that, if we went after all of them, killed the Forbes 400, took everything, took all the profits of the Fortune 500, literally took all their profits, then we would basically be able to pay for 1 year of federal expenditures. So you kill all the golden gooses you can find. Go after all those scumbag rich people. They're all obviously, God hates them all, obviously. So kill them all, take all their stuff, and you're going to pay for about 1 year of the federal government's expenditures. You're not going to touch the debt. So that doesn't work. And the Green New Deal, and this, that, and the other thing, and packing the court, and Roe versus Wade, codified from top to bottom. And the ongoing worship, because that's the most accurate word, Molech worship of killing unborn children goes on and on and on in perpetuity. And then you got Donald Trump, who I don't know how deep into his heart all these issues go, but I do know what he's done. And that's what Dobson's talking about here. So he's quoting from somebody else. This is not a junior high or high school popularity personality contest. I'm not voting for the person. I'm voting for the platform. I'm voting for the Second Amendment. I'm voting for the next Supreme Court justice. I'm voting for the Electoral College. I'm voting for the republic in which we live. I'm voting for the police and law and order. I'm voting for the military and the veterans who fought and died for this country. I'm voting for the flag that is often missing from public events. I'm voting for the right to speak my opinion and not be censored for it, especially as a Christian. I'm voting for secure borders. I'm voting for the right to praise God without fear. I'm voting for every unborn soul that is at risk at being aborted. I'm voting for freedom and the American dream. I'm voting for good and against evil. I'm not just voting for one person. Then he adds some other things, which is really good. So I'm going to tell you when I come back from the other side of the break. Hey, Steve, are you endorsing Donald Trump? You should have figured that out already. I'm not endorsing how he acts all the time, but I'm endorsing what he's done and what he stands for and what I believe he'll continue to do. You have to separate the personality. We'll be right back. So what are we waiting for? A message in the sky. All right, thanks. Welcome back. Appreciate you guys being here. Appreciate Steve Bates earlier. He's looking at all these pollings and all this different stuff going, what in the world's happening here? What in the world's happening? I mean, listen to this. The latest Rasmussen poll that has Biden plus 12 has Trump only getting 76% of Republicans. And Rasmussen's usually a pretty good poll, right? Trump got 88% of Republicans in the 2016 election and is more popular with Republicans now. So how is it possible that he's only going to get 76%? He got 88% of Republicans in 2016, and now Rasmussen's saying he's only going to get 12? He's going to go down? What is that? And in H.W. Bush got 73% of Republicans in 1992, and that was with Ross Perot in there, who was only stealing votes from Bush. So you go, how could that happen? Look at Pennsylvania. Right now they're saying a recent poll shows Biden up by 11 points. But since 2016, Democrats have lost 41,924 voters in Pennsylvania, while the Republicans have gained 158,000. That's a net gain of about 107,000. More Republicans registered in pickups in Pennsylvania than Democrats. Yet they're saying Biden's going to win Pennsylvania by 11. Average margin of victory in Florida the last seven presidential elections is 2.5 points. Today's Quinnipiac poll has Biden outperforming that by 400%. The latest Rasmussen poll, the most accurate national poll of 2016, says Biden is going to outperform FDR's final reelection in 1944, and that was in the middle of what? World War II. Now we can say, Bob on Facebook Live is saying, hey, you know what? Pay no attention to the polls. But you have a massive onslaught of polling since January. Literally, 120 of them. So are you telling me all 120 polls since January have all been fixed? Every single one of them. Is that possible? It's possible. That's what Steve Bates was saying. Is it probable? We've never seen that before. So he says either the whole thing's rigged and fixed, and all the pollings, left media, all of it. Okay, you got the left media, you got the Democrats, and now you throw all the polling companies in there, pretty much all of them, and they're all fixed trying to get rid of Trump. That's one option. The other option is we're going to see a never-before-seen loss of a president based purely on his personality. Because suburban women agree with his, to a large extent, agree with his policies and agree with his results. But he's just such a nasty guy. I just can't handle it anymore. I'd rather live in a Marxist country than a country that has a guy like Donald Trump as the president. That's insane. And that's why I was reading that. Sorry if that's you, but that's just not rational. And listen, I'm going to say this again. As a follower of Jesus Christ and a person that's pretty well versed in the scriptures and knowing what a biblical norm is for a follower of Christ, which, by the way, I don't bother applying that to unbelievers anymore. That would be like yelling at the lemon tree because it's dropping lemons. What? That's just ridiculous. I don't impose a biblical I don't impose a biblical standard on unbelievers and their behavior. God does. That's why we're all condemned. There's none righteous, no, not one, because God imposes his biblical standard on everybody. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Okay? But I don't apply that because I don't expect an unbeliever to act like anything other than an unbeliever. So when I look at Donald Trump, and let's just say there's two options here. Either he's a baby Christian or he's not a Christian. If he's not a Christian, I'm not holding a biblical standard to his behavior. And that's just the screwed up, broken world that we live in. So now I can't hold that standard to him, but I can hold a standard to results and to policies because that's my only choice. Or he's a baby Christian, in which you get saved at 72 after being a pretty obnoxious person and a hard driver for 50 years. You think all of a sudden you're going to turn into Mother Teresa and just be this really sweet, kind person that just lets everything slide off their back after being a Christian for what, a year and a half, 2 years, 3 years? No, that's ridiculous. That's unloving to have that kind of expectation. So then you know what? You just got to get over it. His obnoxiousness, his condescension, how he's mean to people, how he's not a great communicator. It's half the time I'm like, I wish he hadn't said that. But then you go, okay, hit the pause button on your personality predicament and go look at results and go look at policies and look at platform. And when it comes to platform, there's only one of these two platforms that embraces child murder, funds it, protects it, and embraces it. Former President Barack Obama. God bless Planned Parenthood. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Margaret Sanger Award. Margaret Sanger is one of my heroes. An avowed racist, satanic to the core, eugenics. Okay? That's that party, the Democrat Party. And then the full embracing of a completely godless sexual ethic. Now, the Republican Party, I don't have a problem with their orthodoxy, their platform. Their platform's solid. What about their orthopraxy? How they work that out? Do they do everything well? Do they miss the boat? Yeah, on a lot of things. But it's way better. And hey, Steve, are you telling me to choose the lesser of two evils? Yes. That is the only choice you have in this world. Unless you're choosing Christ. Then you choose perfection. But everything else, you're choosing the lesser of two evils. Everything else. Including this election. So that was what Dr. Dobson was doing here. I'm voting for the Second Amendment. He's quoting somebody else. I'm voting for the next Supreme Court justice. Now, we're not anymore, because that's going to get done, praise God. I'm voting for the Electoral College. I'm voting for the republic in which we live. By the way, hey, the Electoral College, Steve, why you talk that? Why does that come up? Why is that a big deal? Because if we don't have an Electoral College, the top 8 to 15 cities in America are going to choose the president every year, which tells you, now you know why the Democrats want to get rid of the Electoral College. Because if you have the top 5, 10, 15 cities in America choosing the president, they're all blue. Because those are concentrations of population. Well, we don't live in a pure democracy. We don't live in a democracy. That's just 51% done deal. We don't live in a democracy because the majority would abuse the minority all the time. We live in a representative republic. We had a problem early on. This is part of the Constitutional Convention. And so how do we deal with the fact that some states have more people than others? Do we want all the big states to have all the mojo and all the little states don't have any say? Or do we make it like one state, one vote and just even it all out? Well, that doesn't make sense either. So what do? We do both. We have a House of Representatives based on population. We have a Senate where it's even. And then the Senate's kind of a contradictory thing to the House. They're every 6 years for a little more stability. The House is every 2 years where revenue bills and tax bills start so we can get to them sooner and fire them. And so there's a balance there. But you get that. And then we did the exact same thing with the Electoral College. It's brilliant. So you're voting for that. I'm voting for the military and veterans. I'm voting for the flag that's often missing from public events. I'm voting for the right to speak my opinion. I'm voting for the right to praise God without fear and not have my church shut down over a disease that has, by the way, did you figure out, can we put up the survival rates on the screen? See if we can do that on the TV behind me. That's only on Facebook Live. So if you're age 0 to 19, you have a 99.997% chance of surviving COVID. If you're between 20 and 49, you have a 99.98% chance. These are CDC numbers, by the way. And Facebook, you can't censor me on this. Sorry, too late. Age 50 to 69, you have a 99.5% chance of surviving COVID. And if you're over 70, the target group, your chance of surviving COVID is 94.6%. There's a 40% chance across all of that you'll be asymptomatic, meaning you won't feel anything. And there's an 80% chance that you won't have anything serious enough to go to a hospital. And those are the survival rates. I'm voting for every unborn soul that's at risk being aborted. I'm voting for freedom and the American dream. I'm voting for good and against evil. I'm not just voting for one person. So Dobson goes on to say this. I couldn't have said it better, although I'd want to add to the writer's list. I'm also voting for Canada to exercise sound leadership internationally. I'm voting for those who will support Israel. I'm voting for those who will protect children from leftist curriculum. I'm voting for the nation's fiscal integrity. I'm voting for parental rights. I'm voting for school choice and home education. I'm voting for freedom in the suburbs. I'm voting for Little Sisters of the Poor and other Christian organizations. I'm voting for racial unity. I'm voting to support In God We Trust and school prayer. I'm voting for freedom of conscience for physicians and other professionals. I'm voting for marriage. I'm voting for life in all of its dimensions. I'm voting against euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide. I'm voting for wisdom in handling the pandemic. I'm voting for protection for the church from oppressive politics. Politicians. One final thought, Dr. Dobson says, with all respect, this election isn't about you. Now he's talking like a founding father who were willing to pledge their fortunes, their lives, and their sacred honor, not for themselves, get over yourself, but for their posterity. So he goes on to say, with all respect, this election isn't about you. So if you don't like Trump's personality and how he can be nasty sometimes, I don't care. This isn't about you. This isn't about your feelings. This isn't about you being offended. This isn't about you. It's not about me. It certainly isn't about me, Dobson writes. It's about our kids and grandkids. It's about those who are yet to come, if they're allowed to live. This vote has awesome implications for future generations in the nation we love. It's about our Constitution and the immutable God-given rights it protects. It's about values and truth and greatness and hope. This is why the notion of choosing a president based on frivolous personality characteristics is so unfortunate. In summary, Dr. Dobson writes, this election is for all the marbles, the presidency, the House of Representatives, the Senate, and the Supreme Court. Together, they set the agenda for the country. Together, they will determine in the natural, in this world, at this time, in this country, they will determine what your kids and your grandchildren will experience. So, are we going to sit, literally, I 100% believe this. Are we going to sell their future down the river for our emotional challenges of dealing with a somewhat obnoxious person? Really? Are we going to do that in 24 days, 25 days? Are we going to sell our children's future in America based on the type of government we have down the river? Because I just feel uncomfortable with a president who's kind of nasty. That is just remarkably irrational and unloving. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. I was just reading some significant portions from Dr. Dobson's open letter to Christians regarding the election. I just posted it here on the Facebook Live during the radio show. I posted it on my regular personal page on Facebook, and then I posted it on the radio page on Facebook, The Steve Noble Show. You can find it there. And on the radio page, all you got to do is like it, and then all the posting I do, you get to see all that and interact and everything. And there's a lot of interaction going on there. I mean, just earlier today, I posted something about Rush Limbaugh. Yeah, Trump was on there 2 hours uninterrupted. Now, the station I was listening to on iHeartRadio, they were playing commercials. But on a lot of the radio stations, 600 plus radio stations Rush Limbaugh's on, they didn't have their no commercial breaks. 2 hours. Trump going with Rush for 2 hours. By the way, between Trump and Biden, which one of these two guys has been getting hammered by the press in live fire, face-to-face interactions over and over and over again for 5 years? Do you really think Joe Biden could handle 2 hours of live radio with anybody, unscripted, no teleprompter? And, you know, and I listen to that, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I would have said that differently. Oh, yeah, that's going to be misconstrued, blah, 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 blah. But 2 hours back and forth with a lot of facts and details and, you know, hyperbole and all the typical Trump stuff. But like Steve Dace was saying in the first segment, listen, there's only one of two things going on here. Either we have the fix is in, and now all the major polling groups have joined in league with the Democrat Party and the liberal media to do whatever they can to throw this election, which I think, could it happen? I mean, he was like, yeah, it could happen, but that's pretty far-fetched. Now you shake that up and throw a little spiritual warfare in there, and now it becomes a little more probable. Or we're about to see the most shocking presidential defeat in the history of the country based on the president's personality. Because that's what the polling that Steve got from, I presume, somebody in the White House earlier today, Steve Dace got this and tweeted it. Yeah, let me just go back. I'll tell you exactly what the tweet said. This is exactly what it spoke to a little birdie with access to some internal polling. He's talking about polling inside the Trump campaign. Quote, never seen a disconnect like this. On issue polling, suburban women are with us, but they just want Trump gone and they're killing us right now. So that's showing up in the polling, which is why you got 56% of people right now saying, yes, I'm better off today than I was 4 years ago. That's the highest that poll for that question just ahead of a presidential election has ever been since like 1984. And that was the end of Reagan's first term. So logically, none of this stuff is lining up. So either the massive fix is in to get rid of Trump, which we've seen that for almost 5 years now, or we're about to see a completely unprecedented presidential defeat based purely on people's emotional reaction to his style, his personality, and the way he communicates. And if America, if you, quite frankly, if you are that controlled by your emotions and you're a Christian, you're not thinking rationally. That was the point of Dobson's thing. That's the point of what I was saying earlier. You need to put the pause button on the personality problem. And you need to put the play button on the results and platform issue. The personality thing, is it unfortunate? Yes. But we really want to sell our kids' future down the river because we don't like a president's personality or the way he operates or the way he talks to people or is condescending or whatever? Think about that for a second. Yeah, I'm willing to bury my children's future in order to get an obnoxious guy out of the White House who, by the way, yeah, he's done a lot of good things for the country. He's done a lot of great things for African Americans. He's done a lot of great things for Israel. He's done a lot of great things for our place in the international world, both economically and militarily. There's a lot of good things that were being done, but he's just so obnoxious. I don't care. I'm willing to ignore all that and sell the rest of the country's future down the river, which I really think is what we're talking about here, because I'm uncomfortable. How that is so, I'm just losing it now. That is so selfish. It's remarkably selfish. And let me double down on that. It's childish. And let me triple down on that. It's unloving from a Christian perspective. Love your neighbor as yourself. Show deference to others. Give other people the place in front of you. Be willing to take the last seat and push everybody else up to the front of the train, and you're barely hanging on in the back. Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. So what are you going to do for your kid's future? Do you really think? Nancy Pelosi is now talking about the 25th Amendment. Why is she doing that? We're going to set up a little crew here to talk about it. It's not about President Trump, she said today. He will face the judgment of the voters. But he shows the need for us to create a process for future presidents. What's she doing that for? She's hedging her bets. If Donald Trump wins, then she's trying to put another bullet in the chamber that she can go after him with because he is in his mid-70s and all of a sudden, he's not capable and we got to... Or, and now I think this is actually a better option, probably position one in her thinking, Joe Biden's going to win, but Joe Biden can't govern. So we need to have some things in place because we're going to have to replace Joe pretty soon with Kamala Harris, who literally, based on her voting record, Newsweek magazine said last year she's the most liberal person in the Senate. She voted more liberally. Did you know this? Facts over feelings. She voted more liberally than Bernie Sanders. And she's a horrific candidate. And then you've got her in position two behind Joe Biden. By the way, who's in position three? Oh, that's right. Nancy Pelosi. So that's going on there. And so it's selfish. It's irrational. It lacks critical thinking. And it's unloving from a Christian perspective. Because I'm telling you, they want to pack the court. Religious freedom? Are you kidding? You know what's standing in between the hardcore left, Marxism, socialism, baby killing? You know what's standing in between them and doing whatever they want with this country? You know what's standing between them and that? You. If you're a Christian and you hold to a biblical standard, which you should, it's you and it's me. And it's, you think they want me on the air doing what I do? You think they want Steve Dace on the air doing what he does? Or Sean Hannity or Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh or no, shut them all down. Bring back the fairness doctrine. Shut it all down. Because this is a spiritual battle, friends, for lack of human dignity, lack of unalienable rights, Lack of property rights, lack of the ability to maximize your potential given to you by God, which might result in you making more money than other people. Get rid of all of that. It's a completely godless agenda. And baby sacrifice, and remove all sexual ethics whatsoever. It's total autonomy. God, take a flying leap. We'll do whatever we want. Thank you. That's literally what's going on here. So I put that on, I put Dr. Dobson's letter up, and I put it on there, and I'm like, okay, here's the deal. You don't like his personality? You don't like his style? Get over it. Get over it. I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying get over it. Move along. There's bigger fish to fry than the president's personality or lack thereof or bigness of it, how bigly it is, whatever, how obnoxious he can be, what a lack of eloquence, all that stuff. And then I come back, and then there's the other side of me. This is the other side of me, the ultimate side of me, the most important thing that's even over all of that. Is you can clean up America and make it beautiful and have a roaring economy and all this great stuff, and we're respected around the world, and we're pushing back on Islamic fundamentalism and all these great things, and school choice and homeschooling is protected, and we're doing better with babies and we're saving more babies and abortion isn't quite as widespread, and maybe we turn over Roe versus Wade. But if all 330 million Americans never hear the gospel and we don't act like the church, people die in a nice country and then spend eternity separated from God in hell. And that is a bigger fish to fry. So if you think, Steve, you're totally given over to the politics. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. The gospel is first. Politics is important, but the gospel is preeminent, because gospel is the only thing that deals with the eternal soul of man, not politics. That's temporal. It's important because it involves human beings made in the image of God who have unalienable rights. That's important in the here and the now, but that ends. And then there's the future. There's eternity, which is C.S. Lewis said, you've never met a mere mortal. Every single person you've ever met is either an everlasting horror or an eternal splendor, because they're either a child of the devil or they're a child of God. And the only thing that separates that is adoption into the family of faith by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the bigger issue. So we can make America great again, but you could make America great again and have a nation full of condemned people that are going to hell because we don't share the gospel and we don't live it out well to validate our profession of faith. So it's both. It's the tension of the Christian life. That's why Paul's talking about to live is Christ and to die is gain. Sometimes that's my prayer. Lord, get me off this rock. Get me out of here. And what I'm probably not going to do is die of COVID. So if you're looking here on Facebook Live, you see the screen behind me. If you're between the ages of 0 and 19, your odds of surviving COVID, literally if you get it, your odds of surviving COVID, CDC numbers, sorry, Facebook, don't censor this, 99.997% odds of survival. So what do you do if you get that, hey, you're COVID positive? Well, hold on a second. You have a 99.997% chance of surviving because you're only 16. Oh, what are you going to do about that? I don't know. Go to a movie. Okay, cool. You're age 20 to 49. What's your survival rate? 99.98%. So says the CDC. If you're 50 to 69, that's my age range. What's my survival? If I get it, 99.5%. Hey, Steve, you have a 0.5% chance of dying from COVID. What do you think you should do? Oh, I think I should definitely go into the basement. Don't do anything. Do the show from home. Don't see anyone. Don't do anything. Don't go anywhere. And then the most vulnerable age range, 70 up. Chance of survival, 94.6%. You get a 5.4% chance of dying. And across all those age ranges, by the way, 40% are asymptomatic and 80% don't require any serious hospitalization or a visit to the hospital at all. But yet this drives our life. It matters, but it's not eternal. So we live with the tension of both. We groan and we moan and we're anxious over the here and the now. We long for the there and the then. And we live in the space in between and the tension of it all. So you don't like his personality, you don't like the way he acts, you don't like his style, get over it. And we're not talking about ourselves anymore. We're talking about our children and our children's children, born and unborn. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, thank God for this, ever forward.